Well, I'm glad to have been invited to give a talk here. And I'd like to particularly thank Dan Holtz for doing so much on the organizational side. What I'm going to talk about today is work in collaboration with a student, Indrajit Mitra, and you can read about it in these two HEPTH preprints that we've submitted. The subject of my talk is to revisit the Gregory-Laflamme transition, and I'll briefly describe what that is. What we found was that spinning grains can be thermodynamically unstable. In fact, that was found in earlier papers. And what we really did, what we added was that there was an unstable mode in Lorentzian time evolution that we attributed to that thermodynamic instability. And furthermore, we conjectured as a general prediction that such perturbative instabilities as we found here numerically would always occur when there was a thermodynamic instability. And only then. So that we have a crisp criterion for when the Gregory-Laflamme instability occurs. Okay, so in the early 90s, Gregory and Laflamme demonstrated that a non-extreme black brain could be unstable. And the paradigmatic example was that a uniform black string, which they treated in most detail in five dimensions, could turn into an array of black holes, and in this transition, entropy could increase. The simple explanation for why this transition would take place was exactly what I said, entropy increases. But the actual computation that Gregory and Laflamme did, partly numerically, was to linearize in five-dimensional Einstein gravity around this uniform solution and demonstrate in a linear perturbation theory that there was a tachyonic mode and instability toward becoming wiggly, the horizon becoming wiggly. So in order to motivate what I'm going to say, I would merely ask how closely are the intuitive explanation based on entropy and the numerical computation related? Well, briefly, the entropic argument that Gregory and Laflamme gave indicated some kind of global instability. They said the final state has more entropy than the initial state, so if you're doing some kind of quantum gravity, you would expect there to be some tunneling mechanism where the less entropic state goes to the more entropic one. However, the actual numerical computation that was done indicated a local instability proceeding in Lorentzian time, not through tunneling, but rather through the classical dynamics. So there's a kind of a mismatch between local and global here, and in order to come up with a more suitable criterion for when this kind of instability should occur in the classical dynamics, which is all I want to talk about, one should simply make the entropic argument local. Thus, our conjecture is that a dynamical instability such as the ones that Gregory and Laflamme found should arise precisely when there's a local thermodynamic instability. And now that I've muttered those words enough times, let me tell you exactly what I mean. There is some kind of entropy, the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy, which we can read off in terms of the energy and the conserved charges. And I'm usually thinking of a black brain, like a BP brain, or a string, but something which has translational invariance in some spatial direction. That's the case where I'm on safe ground. So then there may be some conserved charges, and I'll give you an example in a moment. And so we have this entropy function, and thermodynamic stability is simply a matrix inequality, but this matrix of second derivatives is negative definite. And that is a familiar inequality that you see in thermodynamics texts. It's the convexity requirement on the entropy, or there's an equivalent one for the free energy. So why is this a good idea? Well, if that matrix of second derivatives had a positive eigenvector, that's to say, if it failed to be negative definite, then you could make a small variation in the local properties of this brain, which I've denoted something like this, and lambda is some arbitrary function. You could make some small variation that would raise the entropy. And so you'd expect the system to find that mode in some way, and travel along it and produce an instability. Now, so I've given you a conjecture that the classical instability will occur exactly when the thermodynamic one occurs. Unfortunately, we can't test that hypothesis given the work of Gregory and Laflamme, because the explicit examples that they focused on happen to be always thermodynamically unstable. So we've got to come up with something where there's a definite boundary where things become unstable and trace what happens there. The example, since I'm a string theorist, that I naturally came up with was one involving D brains or the brains in M theory. There are particularly simple cases, the D3, M2, and M5 brains, where the number indicates the number of spatial dimensions. These objects can spin around their axis, around their world volume axis. So you're to imagine that this purple line indicates the three spatial world volume dimensions, and the thing is spinning in such a way that its world volume remains stationary. It just spins kind of transverse to its world volume, like a spinning flagpole. Okay, so it was known from previous papers, some by me, some by other people, that these things satisfy that matrix inequality only if the angular velocity of this angular momentum was less than some multiple of the temperature. So the thermodynamics was well studied, but the classical dynamics was not. And all that Intergit and I did was to go ahead and explore the classical dynamics for a particularly simple case. And that case was an M2 brain with spin in transverse dimensions in a way that's expressed in detail in the transparencies, but let me not bother you too much with the details. It's perhaps more intuitive to simply describe it as a charged black hole in ADS4 with four equal charges. Now, if you look at that matrix of the second derivatives of the entropy, it's a 5x5 matrix where the columns and vectors are labeled by the energy and the four charges. The instability in that matrix suggests that the unstable mode is where the charges, or in 11-dimensional terms, the angular momenta, become unequal. And so we can then trace back through the Kaluza-Klein reduction to ADS4 and ask ourselves, what is the corresponding classical instability, and can we see it? And the short story is, we looked. We wrote down the relevant Lagrangian. We looked at the second variation, which I have schematically written here. When we did a numerical investigation, just as Gregory and Laflamme had done, and we found an instability, moreover, exactly where this matrix of specific heats became unstable. So that was kind of an area where we could check this conjecture, and we found that it was holding up well as far as we could see in our numerics. What's remarkable about this is that these black holes have a smooth horizon. There's nothing singular in sight. There's no ergosphere, but there's a classical instability. And to hang your hat on, you might just take away the phrase that no hair theorems are violated in an interesting way in ADS, because we have classical instabilities when there's no singularity in sight. Maybe I'll finish just a little early, since I've just tried to communicate one simple bit of information here, that Intergit and I have a general conjecture for when classical Gregory-Laflamme instability should occur. We're not saying anything about the tunneling instabilities that are expected to be much more generic, much more common. We're only saying something about classical general relativity and arbitrary dimensions. We had this conjecture that classical perturbative instabilities should coincide with thermodynamic instability, and we performed one particular non-trivial check in numerics, which was carried out on a black hole in Anti de Sitter 4. There are many other checks possible. For example, you could look at a D3 brain, and then our claim would be that you pick up a perturbative instability when the temperature is maximized. And this should hold true for a very wide variety of brains and also brain world scenarios. So, thank you.
Were you saying that the final point of the decay process had no singularity, no nervous system, there was a regular horizon? I mean, what happens after the decay?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't know. I would remind you that, in fact, it's not very well understood, even in the original Gregory Laflamme case, what the endpoint of evolution is. I would essentially give the same answer that people usually give for the Gregory Laflamme instability itself, that if you have some conserved charge, like a black string, and some non-extremality above it, that what happens in the end is the non-extremality bunches up in very large blobs and leaves other parts as light as they can be. So I would conjecture the exact same thing is happening here, and it probably you'll encounter some kind of naked singularity along the way, but I obviously can't say that with any confidence because all I've done is a linear analysis. Well, if this is an M2 brain, then I'm on safe ground because there's always the M2 brain that's not broken in any sense. When you're in global ADS, and we still saw this, then you've got to scratch your head and say, well, what's going on? And again, all I can say is I don't know. It seems to be something where it carried over well enough from the flat space case so that the same results pertained. Yes?
I just have a comment. I mean, so I just learned recently that there's another example of a black hole that's going to be unstable. This is what the Ron Meyer system was also thinking about. But if you go to higher dimensions, say above 6, above 5, you can have black holes rotating in one plane with arbitrarily large angular momentum. So there's no extreme curve of angular momentum you can do if you want.
Yes?
And so they've argued that if you have one of these very sort of extreme, highly rotating black holes in higher dimensions,
yes. That in that case, it sounds like a gene's instability.
Yeah.